Blog Talk Radio.
Being lucky is called having everything go your way.
When you deal with computers, you deal with ones and zeros. And the only way that you can make a computer more powerful is to expand the consciousness of the computer.
Well, it's something bigger than ourselves. Huh. And that's got to be said.
That has to do with the self-image that people have.
You know, just kind of your ego being swept aside or being kind of stomped on or being swatted like a fly.
It really is and truly happening at a societal level.
It is being able to take what feels like ordinary human energy and mastering extraordinary power, even with a single person in a society with this kind of power. Call it the X Factor.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Hot Zone. I'm Carrie Light, and some of you may also know me as Gary Carey. I will be your host tonight, coming to you live just south of Austin, Texas, in a little bit awesome town called Kyle. This is our fifth week back in the Hot Zone, and I'm grateful to be here with y'all for the new season of the Hot Zone, sponsored by TruthFindersNetwork.com. As of tonight, the views and opinions expressed on this broadcast, 62 days left in the presidential election, and we're taking on what C stands for, and I am breaking it out for real style. The show might be bipartisan, but I'm not. I'm totally for America and for hope and success for all Americans, so I am for the Trump-Pence ticket. There are so many out of work or underemployed, and so many suffering some of the hardest times ever. Yet, here we are, and our beloved country is giving not just almost $2 billion, but cash money at that. And money that was provided to Iran in several different currencies. And that's like me saying, hey, when you give me that money, since I owe a bunch of countries, will you make sure you convert it all for me first? What? I mean, that is ridiculous. It's a ridiculous request and absurd, frankly, totally embarrassing. It's embarrassing to our country as well as the Obama administration, which, you know, I may not like the Obama administration, right? But I don't want it to look embarrassing. I don't want the world watching to look at us as embarrassing, and it's dangerous as well. They're already bullying us out at sea. I'm talking about Iran. I have many things that Hillary Rodham Clinton and the letter C stand for, and I'll be unpacking it all tonight. But as always, we'll keep it fair and balanced. And remember that while you can feel free to take sides and pick candidates and issues, this is ultimately a bipartisan discussion for all, and it will be a no-judgment zone. And as we do that, and as we do at the start of each, please join me for the Red Skelton Pledge of Allegiance. All right, here we go. This is really cool. This is really old. I don't know how many of you remember Red Skelton. I love this little story.
I remember a teacher that I had. Now, I went through the seventh grade. I went to the seventh grade. I left home when I was 10 years old because I was hungry. And I used to, this is true. I work in the summer and I go to school in the winter. But I had this one teacher. He was the principal of the Harrison School in Vincennes, Indiana. To me, this was the greatest teacher, a real sage of my time, anyhow. He had such wisdom. And we were all reciting the Pledge of Allegiance one day. And he walked over, this little old teacher, Mr. Laswell was his name. Mr. Laswell, he says, He says, I've been listening to you boys and girls recite the Pledge of Allegiance all semester, and it seems as though it's becoming monotonous to you. If I may I recite it and try to explain to you the meaning of each word? I, me, an individual, a committee of one, pledge, dedicate all of my worldly goods to give without self-pity. Allegiance, my love and my devotion to the flag, our standard, O glory, a symbol of freedom. Wherever she waves, there's respect, because your loyalty has given her a dignity that shouts freedom is everybody's job. United. That means that we have all come together. States. Individual communities that have united into 48 great states. 48 individual communities with pride and dignity and purpose. All divided with imaginary boundaries, yet united to a common purpose. And that's love for country. And to the Republic. Republic, a state in which sovereign power is invested in representatives chosen by the people to govern. And government is the people, and it's from the people to the leaders, not from the leaders to the people, for which it stands. One nation, meaning so blessed by God, indivisible, incapable of being divided, with liberty, which is freedom, the right of power to live one's own life without threats, fear, or some sort of retaliation, and justice, the principle or qualities of dealing fairly with others, for all, which means, boys and girls, it's as much your country as it is mine. And now, boys and girls, let me hear you recite the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands. One nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Since I was a small boy, two states have been added to our country, and two words have been added to the Pledge of Allegiance, under God. Wouldn't it be a pity if someone said that is a prayer, and that would be eliminated from schools too?
I say this every week I play that, but I'm sorry. It just really, really makes me emotional. As a patriot, it makes me emotional. I miss saying the pledge every day, and it makes me sad that they don't say the pledge every day anymore. For example, in my son's school, he's a high schooler, a senior this year, they say it twice a week, and that's only because they were sued. And it makes me sad. But at the same time, I cried tears of joy because I'm so proud. I'm so proud of America, and I'm so proud to be an American. And nothing that happens or has happened will change that. Nothing's ever changed that, and nothing ever will. I want to mention that this is a not-for-profit show, because the only agenda here is getting the Republican nominee elected, Mr. Donald J. Trump. I am personally actually an independent voter, but I'm very happy that he was the GOP nominee, because if you're not one of the two main parties, it's practically impossible to become elected. And I want him to be elected. Yep, I said it. I've crossed the line this season only. But this season, I'm an opinionated host. I mean, I truly welcome all opinions, but it's important, I think, to hear people express their endorsements and why on both sides of the aisle. So I want to welcome everybody. I'd like to start by thanking Truth Finders Network, or TFN, for sponsoring this season of The Hot Zone. You can join me on their homepage in the chat room at truthfindersnetwork.com. And I'll be taking comments and questions from there, as well as from our callers. So feel free to start calling in. And after the intros, I'll begin to pull callers into the conversation. Our toll-free number is 323-870-3379. Just press 1 to join our air conversation, or just hang out on the call and listen that way. You can take our show on the road with you, too, by listening in from your cell or landline, and tonight's broadcast will be available in a downloadable podcast by midnight. As soon as it is, I'll post it on the Truth Finders Network homepage, as well as the Truth Finders Network Facebook page. A special shout out to Tennessee Rose and to Mr. John. I see you there. Thank you so much for joining me. It's good. Just like old times, huh? And, you know, to our new listeners as well. And I can't tell you how excited I am, actually, to be here with you tonight. It's not, how shall I say, it's not a privilege to be here. It's really a luxury, and I am grateful for it every day. And to be able to have the ability to broadcast has been something that I have cherished dearly since day one. So one more time, I just want to thank everybody very much for joining in with me for this treasure. Okay, I got a call, so let me pull them into the conversation. In with me for this. Hi there.
Treasure.
Okay, I got a call.
Hello?
So let me pull them into the conversation. Hi. Thanks for calling.
Hey.
Who do I got here?
I'm just... It's dog, and I'm just listening.
Oh, okay. Well, keep listening.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to go.
Who do I got?
Awesome. Okay. That was awesome. That was actually one of my daughters who I got to give a special shout out to you, Jocelyn. Thank you for listening. I know you don't get to do that very often. So for me as a mom, it's a double special. As I was just mentioning when I took the call, this whole thing, being able to have this show and to talk about these things on air like this, for me is truly a privilege, a luxury that is not just something that everybody can have. And I'm very aware of that. And it's not every day that my own children get to join me. So... I guess I was just trying to express how important it is to me to do this. And I want to share one more time our call-in number. It's 323-870-3379. Our phones are open. And if you go to truthfindersnetwork.com, we're in the chat room there. You can chat using your name. You can pick an anonymous name or just log in anonymous. Go to set name and just follow the login instructions there. So one of the things that we also do at the beginning of every show, and that I also feel very privileged to do, is play our national anthem. Last week we played National Anthem by Madison Rising, and I had a lot of amazing feedback, of course, because they're amazing. And I love playing songs, great songs, again and again. So here we are, and I'm going to play the song again. So here we go with Madison Rising, version of the Star Spangled Banner. Enjoy. TruthFindersNetwork.com, TFN, for sponsoring this season of The Hot Zone. All right. So, again, that number for anybody listening who wants to call in is 323-870-3379. And at TruthFindersNetwork.com, I'm in the chat room hoping that y'all will join me and give me some comments and questions that you'd like to discuss. The phones are open. over the past 5 weeks of the Hot Zone, I really felt the spirit of 1976. It's actually one of the things that kind of inspired me to do this season. You know, in 76, it was, and for my rough voice, I've had the flu the last couple of weeks, and it's still kind of clearing out. I hope you all can hear me okay. But I've really been inspired from what I remember of our country's bicentennial celebration, because it engulfed my heart and my mind that year. I was just 11, and it's like I can see it in my mind like a video, and it feels like it was yesterday. Although I'm not going to lie, sometimes it feels like a lot longer, but the patriotism was palpable for real, and I still can feel it to this day. It still inspires me to this day. I mean, you know, from January to the 4th of July and even beyond, red, white, and blue everywhere. The photos and the stories covered all the newsstands, and it was just, it was when I became a patriot. You know, I wonder when others did, you know, when they remember being or becoming a patriot or having a sense of being patriotic about America. But, you know, it doesn't matter who I am or where I come from, because in my mind, I'm an American. And so I know that I can be and do anything I set my mind to. I've always felt that way. I'll always feel that way. But, you know, I wonder how many of today's young people, or even not so young, feel that way still, because America has declined so much. You know, I'm in my 50s and I struggle to maintain that positivity. And, you know, I have a successful small business, you know, and I know a lot of people whose businesses have been truly swallowed up, you know, by the regulations and the taxes and such. So I feel very privileged to have what I have, and yet I feel blessed, but I still feel like it's a struggle to stay positive. But it's in my spirit to be a positive. Those who know me know that well. And I'll never stop believing that not only is America great, but it's also never too late for it to become that place that I dreamed of in 1976 when I was 11. And in the Hot Zone, it's my heart's desire to bring back the spirit of that year, the spirit of American patriotism and dreams. And now more than ever, America needs us to stand up for her, to protect her from the corruption of the current administration and the corruption and criminal acts of Hillary Rodham Clinton. Now, as I said, the show is bipartisan, but I am not. And I believe that Trump will, in fact, win in November. And just a little footnote, I have not always felt that way. In fact, I haven't, in the beginning, I didn't want to endorse him. Before he became the actual nominee, GOP nominee, I did want to endorse him. And there were a lot of, you know, moving parts in terms of how I came to that decision. But in the past, I want to say 3 weeks, my feelings towards him becoming president have gone from, okay, he's the lesser of two evils, to a point where now I'm like excited about it. I mean, I really feel excited about it. I see things that are in him that I want as president. And I no longer feel like, oh, you know, I got to vote for him because he's the lesser of two evils. Now I feel like I want him to be president because he's the only one. And that's what this show is about tonight, is he's the only one commander-in-chief. You know, for him, C stands for commander-in-chief. For her, HRC, as I will refer to her, stands for, let's see, I had like a whole list of of them today: criminal, corrupt, crooked, coughing. Can't believe I add that to my list, but you know, and I don't. I mean, I personally, I have asthma and I have coughing fits like that, and I've experienced that. But because there's such, you know, lies and deceit and corruption from her, I can't help but automatically doubt, you know, what is wrong with this lady? You know, why doesn't she just say, hey, I have asthma, I need to use my inhaler? Or, hey, you know, there's a lot going on and it's irritated my voice. I mean, I don't know, anything but nothing, right? But she likes the nothing. So she is, there are so many C's that are her, that are just, in my opinion, not good. And that is one of the reasons that has inspired me to do these shows every week. And, you know, as I said, I am for Trump, but I came to that decision slowly. And for me, you know, this is a conversation that I have with people literally every day, either intentionally or I just stumble into it. And it's about voting. And I know that Rose and John, for example, in the Truth Finders Network chat room will verify this. But I'm always talking about voting, and there are always people saying, you know, we're not going to vote. I'm not voting. Screw that. I talked to one of my nieces over the weekend, and I was blessed to see both of them. I asked both of them, one, are you voting? And two, who are you voting for? One of them says to me, I won't say which one, she looks at me and she says, well, who am I voting for, Aunt Carrie? So, like, you get to fill in the blanks, which was awesome. But, you know, I don't want going out voting for Trump because Aunt Carrie said so. I want her to vote for Trump because he is the better candidate. And we had a conversation about that. And she's one of those young people in her 20s. And she doesn't have a lot of knowledge. I'm finding a lot of people in that age bracket don't, for whatever reason. Maybe they're just starting their families, or they're in college, or maybe it's just awkward to talk about it. The other niece said to me that she's not voting and that she doesn't feel that she knows enough about it to have any business voting, which I can respect that. I mean, you really shouldn't just vote to vote. You should also be educated. And it's part of our obligations as Americans to be educated and to also participate. But again, you know, it's our responsibility to be educated and also to vote. And I don't think that not voting because you're not educated is necessarily the right thing to do. I think that you should get educated. And, you know, being a young person, if you don't have the time, energy, or even heart for that, getting that education, or even having the conversation, which is kind of a lot of what I'm seeing too, people just, they just are tired of it. You know, like, will this election please just go away? No, it's not going to go away. It'll go away on November 8th. And after that, you know, then we're going to have to deal with whoever won. And so you can't really just sweep it away. And I feel like not having the education is one issue and not voting is another. So by all means, vote. And if you're not sure what to do, or I should say, you know, who to vote for, look around you. Ask around. Like, most people are around enough people in one day, certainly in one week, to get an idea of what's going on. And wise men seek counsel for many. They don't take the advice of every single person, But they take it in and they listen to it and they roll it around and they create their own opinions. So, you know, like Rose says, you know, watch a YouTube video. For goodness sake, I mean, skip one song on YouTube and click a Trump video or a Clinton video. Now, one thing that I will say about YouTube, about media sources such as blogs and even newsletters or news print papers, even the main ones, y'all, like the Washington Post or the New York Times, these are no longer always credible. I mean, I remember back when I was a real little girl and my grandfather would come home every single night and he would barely make it in time to watch the 6 o'clock news with Walter Cronkite. And I remember sitting there watching him and he'd just be glued to the TV. And I think, what in the world is he watching and why? Why does he like this so much? And one time I asked him, you know, Grandpa, what are you watching? And he said, the news. And I said, well, what is the news? And he said, well, it's going on in our world. It's current times. It's the truth about what is going on in the world. And I remember back when what we call the tabloid newspapers like Star or National Enquirer came out. And when you would go to check out at the supermarket where the magazines and stuff were, they would have the newspapers and they would have the tabloids. And boy, they looked just the same. Just the same. And it was crazy because I can remember seeing, you know, crazy pictures of naked ladies or half people, half alien pictures, or I mean, I could just literally go on and on and on with the crazy things. And my mother would say to me, oh, that's not real. And I'd be like, yeah, but it's news. Look at it. It's in a newspaper. She'd say, that's a tabloid. And I literally just tuned her out right there because I didn't understand the difference. But we all understand the difference. And I wonder, do we all understand the difference between vetted news stories and videos versus unvetted? And one of the things that is great about Truth Finders Network is they would rather produce nothing than produce something that isn't vetted. So that's real, real important to me. And I always say in this case, less is more, because I would rather have less news that's true and real than more and be saturated with things that I don't know if I can trust. And again, like I said, NBC, CBS, CNN, Fox News, MSNBC, you know, these are many mainstream publications and cable networks that can't always be trusted. I heard a guy the other day define a journalist as someone who, while reporting any particular thing, you literally cannot tell what that journalist stands for. Who did they stand for, or what did they stand for? If you can get to the end of the story without knowing what a journalist is, what their position is, that's a journalist. That's a good journalist. And I laughed to myself because I was like, well, that counts me right out. In the past, I've maintained a real neutral platform because I believe in opening the floor to any and all people. And I believe in welcoming all people and all opinions. We all have to have a place to state our opinions. But we weren't always, you know, sometimes we would talk about the presidential election, the 2012 cycle. But many times we talked about many other things. And I really felt like I could serve the public better as a neutral platform. And also, to be frankly honest, and I mean totally honest, you know, I wasn't happy with voting Obama in again or Romney, who was the GOP nominee. I couldn't stand Romney. And all the way up until the day of the presidential election, I couldn't stand him. And there was a lot of reasons for that. But I don't feel that way this time. Not only do I not, I don't feel this way or that way this time about Clinton, or I'm sorry, Trump, but I also don't want a third term of Obama. In 2008, I wasn't able to vote for president. I was gone the whole entire year. In fact, I didn't even get to watch TV, and I didn't even know, I wasn't privy to the news or anything else, and I didn't always, I didn't have a way to say, okay, well, I'm for this person or for that person. I knew I'd never been Democrat, never sided with, you know, a Democrat, but I didn't know enough about Obama as a result of being gone to produce a good opinion. So, and I didn't get to vote that year. When 2012 came around, I knew for damn sure I didn't want Obama, and I didn't like Obama, and there were so many reasons for it. You know, I did benefit from Obamacare, so I will always be grateful for that. I had my hips replaced, and I'm out of a wheelchair. But you know what, y'all? I'm paying for it now, essentially through my taxes. So, you know, 2 years later, yes, I'm glad I got my hips replaced. But other than that, other than the fact that I was desperate to have that done, that was the only reason that I was supportive of Obamacare. And now that especially as a small business owner, I've seen the destruction that has incurred, you know, I want to see something better, something different and improved. You know, one of the things that I noticed in the last presidential cycle was everybody was like, I'm going to repeal it. You know, you didn't hear very many people talking about that they would repeal and replace. You know, it's just like when you take your car in to have it fixed and you have your transmission, you know, it's working, but maybe one of the gears isn't working. Okay, it works, right? But it's not working well. And you can't just remove it. You know, you've got to remove it and replace it if you are going to use that vehicle ever again. And I feel that way about healthcare. I feel that way not just in terms of Obamacare, but also with Medicaid. I like the fact that Trump is addressing that. And while on that note, to me, being a CEO, for example, of what kinds of things, what responsibilities you face. I understand that although I may have my education and my training and my opinions, et cetera, every problem that I face as CEO, I have to be willing to not quickly make a decision. I have to be willing to get all of the facts from all of the people in the whole entire situation. After that, and only then, can I sort of roll all of that around in my mind and even in my heart. My heart plays a part of my decision making because it's my desire to be fair. Those are traits that I see in Trump, and those are traits that I want to see in a president, period. So there's that. And right now, I think it's a good time. I'm going to play a clip. This was Sean Hannity on Fox News Network last night. It's a quick clip of Hannity talking to Julian Assange. I'm sure everybody knows him as the WikiLeaks founder. And he was talking about Clinton and her... Sorry, but when I don't have words hardly to talk about how crazy this is, but she just says that she thought that the C was, you know, ABCs, like categorization, even though she herself signed literally tens of thousands of documents of emails showing that she, that, you know, this is classified with that C in the parentheses. So this is a quick clip of him talking about that. So let's take a listen.
Here to join us and explain more, the man himself, WikiLeaks founder, Julian Assange. Julian, how are you, sir? Welcome to the program.
G'day, Sean. I'm well as can be expected for being detained for 6.5 years without charge.
You know what? I understand. You know, part of me in the beginning was conflicted about you. And I'll tell you why. I believe in privacy. I believe that people, especially when it comes to private emails, personal emails, et cetera, and I think people have a right to that privacy. On the other hand, you have done a lot of good in what you have exposed about how corrupt, dishonest, and phony our government is, and I applaud that. I think that's good that we know that. Do you understand people when they talk to you about the privacy issue?
I do, and we've exposed a lot of governments. So WikiLeaks has, you know, we specialize in bringing the First Amendment to the world. We were always very surprised that one of our biggest battles would be trying to bring it to the United States under an Obama administration.
Yeah, that's interesting you say that. Why do you say that that's a surprise to you?
Well, because if you see the rhetoric coming out of the Democrats is that they're pro-civil liberties, and an important part of civil liberties is respect for the First Amendment and the rule of law. And that has broken down under the Obama administration. And Hillary Clinton was part of that process. She has... And the Obama administration has attempted to prosecute more journalists and journalistic sources under the Espionage Act, that same Espionage Act that she was being investigated under, than all previous presidencies combined.
Yeah.
Not just more than any one of them, than more than all of them combined. So there's, under Obama, an epidemic has developed of abusing national security laws to crack down on what is legitimate use of the First Amendment.
You said to PBS that you have a significant amount of information. The information itself is significant pertaining to Hillary Clinton's campaign. You will be releasing it in several batches as you are finishing it from a journalistic standpoint. How many batches, as you describe them, do you think you'll be releasing, and how soon?
Tricky question, Sean.
Well, that's actually a pretty simple one. That's not tricky.
The first batch is reasonably soon. We're quite confident about it now. We might put out some teasers. As I don't want to promise anything because you have to see how the formatting goes, but we might put out some teasers as early as the next week or the week after.
Last question. It's not really hard to hack into these even secure systems, is it? I've talked to some real smart computer friends of mine. They say it's far more simple than anybody would ever know. Is that true?
It is. I just want to say one thing. In the FBI report released Friday, I agree with your analysis. It is very strange that was released Friday afternoon on a Labor weekend. I do think it draws questions as to what sort of game the FBI is trying to play. But there is, Hillary Clinton says that she can't remember what a C in bracket stands for. Everyone in positions of government and in WikiLeaks knows it stands for classified confidential. And in fact, we have already released thousands of cables by Hillary Clinton. Here she is, Clinton. See, that's her signature, Clinton, with a C in bracket right there.
Wow.
Thousands of examples where she herself has used this C in brackets and signed it off, and more than 22,000 times that she has received cables from others with this C in brackets. So it's absolutely incredible for Clinton to lie. She is lying about not knowing what that is. But it's a bit disturbing that James Comey goes along with that game.
Wow, Julian Assange, fascinating. I do hope you get free one day. I wish you the best. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Sean.
All right, we'll have part two of that interview coming up tomorrow. Now, the FBI did a huge document dump on Friday, releasing its report on the investigation of Clinton's email server. Larry Elder, Doug Schoen, weigh in next, plus tonight.
I fully understand that the African-American...
Okay, so, yeah, here she is. She knows how to use the C in brackets to designate something she's sending as confidential or classified, but she doesn't know what it means. Wow. That kind of stupid just slays me. And also, I'm really insulted. And you might as well just get up in my face and call me stupid. If you think, or she thinks, she might as well call me stupid if she thinks that I'm going to believe that. And Americans aren't stupid. We might, as a whole, be a little uneducated, but we're not stupid. There's a difference. And when you go around and you lie and you hide and you're corrupt and you're a criminal, okay, then and you just keep doing this over and over and over again, year and year and year after year, you might as well say Americans are stupid. Because if you keep doing that and acting like they're never going to figure it out, you know, it's just like when my kids were young and they would lie to me. And I would think to myself, wow, you really think I might buy that, don't you? And I feel that way now. It's like, why do they think that we're going to buy all of this? You know, at this point, it seems like all the chatter about Clinton, Trump, and this presidential cycle, you know, it's really getting old and too much. But let me tell you something. Whatever he do, cannot stop listening and talking. Because even though it is tiresome to hear all of it all the time, it's not the same news every day, folks. It's brand spanking new, proven facts of new corruption being revealed daily, as was just pointed out by Julian Assange. And like Rose says, she would love to see the emails during Benghazi. I mean, totally, I agree. In fact, on the WikiLeaks site, you can actually select a category of leaks, as they call them, and you can actually search keywords. So you can actually go in and put Benghazi, and it should pull up any emails that are, you know, leaked within a batch that discuss or refer Benghazi or whatever else your search word might be. And also, you know, whatever you do, y'all, don't panic. Don't panic, because Trump is going to win. All things are going to get better. Trump is going to win. He's a proven, successful businessman. He knows how to run a corporation, many, in fact, at the same time. And now he's giving all that up to run the Corporation of America. That's a pretty big deal. He's giving all that up. I mean, Clinton can't even give up her foundation. A foundation that is clearly corrupt, and you know, it's a talking point, pay for play, but you know what else it is? It's a reality. And I don't like that, because you and me, us regular Americans, we can't pay to play anywhere. We can't pay to get what we need in this country, and no one should. That's not the way or what America was built for. But when Trump becomes president, he will run America as a corporation, and he will love America the way he does now, and maybe even more. And we need a skilled corporate businessman who's not only willing, but like totally dedicated to America. And to the business of making our lives better, lives for Americans. Unfortunately, most of the country is made up of families, many single-parent families, that are just struggling horribly with no relief in sight. I hate that. It's really, really frustrating. And to be frank, our country, it's not set up and in its present state to be ideal for people who are struggling. And it's hard to know how to get out of that. And the truth is, you know, we talked about this last week on our Labor Day show. it kind of sucks, but the truth is nothing good in life comes free. It doesn't come without working for it. And anybody who tells you that is totally lying. You have to work, and you have to work hard. And even then it can be a real struggle. But it given our present circumstances, it's so hard to just do more than survive, to actually thrive, to thrive. And it's sad that a lot of people don't know what it's like to thrive. So I don't see that happening unless Trump becomes president. And I really feel super strongly for many reasons that Trump will indeed. That kind of brings me, I guess, to moving on to the next talking points. So with that, since we were talking about thriving, let's play a song from Luke Azana so we can all take a quick break. Put it on loud so you can hear it while you're grabbing a drink or whatever. Because this is a really good song. This is actually a new one. I had to get this MP3 straight from him. You can't do anything with it on YouTube. I had to get get an MP3 straight from him. He was born in Europe, but he became an American by choice. And he has a fascinating life story, and he is an extremely talented guy. His music is amazing, which we're about to hear. He's an amazing painter. I don't know if any of y'all have ever seen any of his paintings. You can also hear an interview that he did with me about guns. I am a 50-year-old gun virgin. So I have never had or owned a gun, never bought one, never had one, ever, in 50 years. And I've been talking about it for years, but I will be getting my first gun. And so in this interview, it was really awesome. We talked about a lot of different things, being aware and being educated, et cetera, a lot of what we're talking about tonight in terms of the presidential cycle. And it's really a concept to apply to everything. And some of you listening might be like, duh. But, you know, a lot of people don't think like that. And for me, it's a big deal. I've never done it. So it's a really big deal to me. And I want to do it right. And so that's a really interesting interview, and you can get that on his website, loveguns.freedom.com. That doesn't sound right. I'm going to check that. That's okay. Here's his song, Thrive. And after that, Minutemen, Luke Azana with Thrive. See you on the other side.
Wake up.
One, two, three, four.
Can you
the Minutemen, we're gonna stand for our country. We'll fight till the end. We're the Minutemen, we're gonna stand for our country. We'll fight till the end. We're the Minutemen, we're common people. We're just women and men, but our borders will defend against invaders.
Welcome back, y'all. We've still got a lot to talk about, so let's get back to it. Toll-free line is open, 323-870-3379, and you can call and or join us in the Truth Finders Network, the TFN chat room, and I'm in there keeping an eye out for your comments and questions. And it's worth saying again and important to remember that while political correctness is not needed in the hot zone, our show tonight does need to maintain true respect of others' comments and opinions at all times, no matter how tempting it could be sometimes not to. So I want to introduce my husband, bringing him in here, everybody. This is Marty. Marty Light. Hey, yep. Honey. Welcome.
Hey.
So
you're talking about, what were we talking about tonight?
We've been talking about C for corrupt Clinton and all of the things that she stands for that are not good, like crime and corruption. And
I've got something any better than that. C squared.
Oh, my God.
So I'm going to make it a little difficult. Yes. It's called Coughing Clinton. And she's really been coughing a lot lately.
Crooked, kinda corrupt.
Makes me worried about her health.
Coughing Clinton.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I was mentioning that earlier, and I kind of feel bad.
I just really believe it's my belief that I was the leader of the free world, then I would want to make sure that my health was intact. So I really don't believe that hers is. I'm concerned about it. I haven't seen a bill of health for Donald, but I don't see him coughing every time he has an interview. So
that's true.
And this has been going on for a while, and I believe that's why she's been on hiatus for quite some time as far as interviews and press conferences and whatnot. So anyway, it's my concern that, you know, everybody should be healthy that's going to be running our country, especially the president.
Oh, at minimum, for sure.
I've seen videos of many, 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 many looking like seizure moments. So it's kind of sad. I'm worried that maybe she's being forced into this when she shouldn't be, health-wise.
You know, I wonder what the people in the audience think about that, because we've talked about that here at home.
Yep. And it's sad for
me. It is sad, you know. I mean, it's not beyond me to feel sorry for someone, even if I don't like them. And I don't even know if, like, feel sorry is exactly the right word.
It's definitely not fair for the people that really want America to...
She might be being forced.
She could be.
Like, I wonder if people in the audience have ever thought about that. Because, I mean, could you imagine what she's laying awake at night thinking? Like, oh, my God, why in the heck did I do this? Why did I get into this, you know? And if so, who's forcing her? You know, it's kind of a rhetorical question, but still. Yeah, Rose says she's on a permanent hiatus from reality.
Well,
they
hid
that
stuff with Kennedy. They hid all the stuff about Kennedy's health, and
they did.
And it's very worrisome, troublesome.
Yeah, it wouldn't be the first time that they hid a candidate's health, right?
No.
And nowadays, you would
especially
think
the Democratic Party.
But,
now, I'm not sure where we stand as far as the Republican Party goes, but as far as the Democratic Party goes, for sure, that has been done in the past.
Yeah, we know that for sure. And
yeah,
again, I mean, it's almost harder nowadays to hide an illness when you've got cameras and microphones like literally everywhere all the time. And I think that they have underestimated, as they have many other things, the administration and Secretary Clinton have underestimated the people's ability to see the truth, which, again, like I said earlier, is a flat-out insult to me. I take that as a personal
insult. Well, I don't think it's time in our history
Americans
to be...
Americans are not stupid.
Getting somebody in office that's not healthy, that'll just make us more vulnerable for every possible thing. So I'm really concerned about it. And I just can't believe people aren't like noticing and taking notice.
No, I think people are noticing
commenting.
It, but I also think that because we have such skewed mainstream media outlets that they're not covering it the way that they would if it was Trump. I mean, my God, if it was Trump, they would be blowing him up about it.
Of course.
But, you know, with her, they have to kind of talk about it a little bit just because it's being talked about so much.
Well, they really don't even need to talk about it. All they got to do is interview her if she starts coughing.
Yeah.
It's scary.
She didn't cough tonight. She didn't call tonight. I know that you didn't get to see the NBC's Commander in Chief Forum. I got to see most of it before it was time to go on air. And one of the things that I didn't like, and I didn't get to see, she went first. There was a coin toss. Trump won. And he chose to go second, which to me indicates great strategy because, if you're a prosecutor, you always want to come in and
she won the coin toss.
And you do. No, he won the coin toss.
She won the coin toss?
Trump won the coin toss.
Nice.
Trump.
That's the way they do in football.
Yeah, and but not only did he win, though, he chose to go second, which I think is
right.
Brilliant because as a prosecutor, you always go last. You have the last word.
Of course.
And so I don't know for sure if he went the whole entire 30 minutes without attacking her. But at the very beginning, it was just an hour long. Matt Lauer asked her if she would abide by the commitment to not attack Trump during that 30 minutes. And it was a non-commercial 30 minutes as well. I mean, they just had the one break at the 30-minute mark. And boy, if it wasn't not even 15 minutes and she was attacking Trump. So, I mean, she couldn't even get through it because she doesn't have anything to do except for attack him, you know?
Well, that's their only strategy.
Which brings me to the C for the Trump candidate, which I believe should stand for, one, he's competent. He's becoming more and more careful. And I love that.
He's definitely coherent.
Coherent?
Yeah.
That's a good one. I think he'll make a great commander in chief.
I don't think that she's coherent all the time. I really don't.
Rose is asking, who is Hillary's running mate, and it's Tim Kaine. This guy, Tim Kaine, I mean, I don't know, man. This guy, I get what I call readings on people, and I don't always have to be in person when I'll just get this, like, knowing, and I mean, it's almost always right. And when I first heard about this guy,
he's definitely not very presidential.
Oh,
he's
not.
It's more like a puppet.
He also looks very insincere, like it's all like fun and games. And this is not. I mean, this is the presidency of the United States, and he's not even a gentleman. I mean, when she was coughing away the other day, he just sat in the background and talked about her. I mean,
I know.
I envision
like when is she
going to
quit coughing?
Yeah, I mean, I think it would have played out better if he would have been a gentleman and just been like, you know, hey.
His name's on the line, and I don't know what his name's like because I really don't really know him, but he's definitely not, I don't know.
Well, his name's not much.
I just know there's something going on behind the scenes that we don't know about, and the only way we're ever going to know about it is if somebody says something about it, and something is going on with her. Physically.
I agree. And I mean, as a woman who has health issues and I have asthma and I have coughing fits, and there are times when I've coughed so bad, I literally could not talk. And the only thing that made it better was using my inhaler.
She might just have asthma. Who knows?
I know. I mean, that is not something that would keep a president from being able to do a job.
My question is, what is the requirements health-wise?
Well,
become
I mean,
president.
If it's asthma, I don't see what the problem is.
I mean, Dick
if
Cheney,
they're hiding emails,
he
what are
heart,
they?
He had like all kinds of stuff, and he wouldn't run for president because of that reason.
I know. I mean, and
you gotta think
to
about
me,
your country before yourself.
Yes.
It's just
that
you gotta think about your country before yourself.
That is part of being commander in chief. And
I promise you that you can look back when Reagan became president, he had a complete health screening to make sure that he was healthy enough to run and healthy enough to become president because he was old.
Yeah, he was. I remember that.
And I remember hearing about it. And he was. He passed all the tests. And I mean, come on. We got to be, everybody's got to be smart about this or we're going to lose our country, period.
And so while I've got you on the air, what do you think about at this stage of the game, people who are still taking the position that they're either not going to vote or they're going to use their vote on someone beside one of the two main party candidates?
Well, I think if they vote for Johnson, it's a vote for Trump. Because I really believe that anybody that's going to vote for Johnson is going to be a Democrat. So, go for it. And
well, most of the
as far as
people who are voting for Johnson,
people that aren't
going to
vote, I think they're
conservative.
I think they better really do their research before they don't vote. And they better really learn.
Wasting
and there's a lot of time to learn about our candidates, and there's going to be some actual debates, and we'll see who
between the two.
Yes, and we'll see. To me, that's what really matters. And
yeah, and Trump did
vice
really
presidential
well in
debates,
all of the other debates.
I'll never forget watching, because I really believe this is what killed Ross Perot, was his vice presidential running mate back in 92. He was some kind of a colonel or I don't know. But the guy was definitely not fit to be a vice president as far as
As you're saying that, I'm bringing back memories.
You remember
yep.
who I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, I remember
so,
now. Yeah, I mean, people think Trump
so
is bombastic.
About the, it's not about the candidate.
No.
It's about the running mate. And you brought it
up. I know,
up,
right?
And
look
I think
Trump's,
it's time to really, really think about that. You know, let's look
I
at
love
Trump's
that
running
Trump's
mate.
Running mate was in the military. I mean, to me, one of our biggest issues.
I'm pretty sure he was a Marine.
Economy. Oh, no, he
I'm
was.
Fairly sure.
Definitely. Yes.
And
absolutely.
He talks very.
As well as.
To the point,
members.
And he it doesn't sound to me like he's trying to push anything but America for an agenda.
You
I
know,
don't believe he's. He's
it's
trying
genuine.
Like.
They you know, love America.
I don't think he really is, like, really too, like, happy about some of Trump's things, but. That's why they got checks and balances when it comes to people, because everybody's going to keep everybody honest.
Well, I mean,
when they're like
that. Would you rather have the political correct, quote unquote, Hillary Clinton, who is corrupt and crooked and hides and lies, or would we rather have somebody like Trump who's able to say what he thinks? I mean, this guy is the real deal, and Pence. Is very pro-military, pro-veteran, as all Americans should be, but unfortunately or not. And one of the
he
things
doesn't
that
agree
I believe
with all
that
of Trump's positions on everything either, and I really like
no,
that about
No, but you
it.
Know, he under...
He's
I
not phony.
Too, and I like that he understands Trump's positions, even though he doesn't necessarily agree. But it's kind of like a couple who, you know, like you and me, I feel like you've got things that are different than I have. But when we come together, we make a complete
But when
pair.
When you're just saying
they make a complete
yes,
pair
dear, yes,
together,
dear, that's phony. That's Tim Kaine
oh,
is
it
just
is.
Going along with anything that she says and just sitting back.
I know,
just,
he's very giddy and silly and
yep. mm-hmm.
he's trying to be the comedian and
it's really
I
sad.
Don't like it. It really turns me off.
It's sad. To me,
I like
too,
that,
our country and our world's in too much of a serious situation to have Laurel and Hardy running for president. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's a good one. I mean,
I don't know
who, Pence,
who's Laurel and who's Hardy.
The economy
but
is really going to be
a
one of Trump's fortes. That's his niche. It's where most of his skills lie. Is in business, and America is a corporation. And then there's Pence, who was a career military man. And the other issue that is right
and
up
his
there
family
the
is, I believe his sons are in the military right now.
They are. Yes, they are.
Yeah.
And so here
so,
we've got this guy.
I don't know too much about him, but
about with our security, because he's been in the military. He understands you know, when him and Trump sit down with the generals and all of the different moving players in the situation when he does become president, it's going to be a really great pairing with the two of them to have someone.
I think they're sitting
down
right now. I think they're sitting down having serious discussions right now.
I'm sure. I'm sure.
I believe that's the reason he's acting different than he used to. What's that?
Trump was just saying, is he her poster boy, and referring to Tim Kaine? And he definitely is. I mean, she chose a safe bet. She chose a guy that's going to, you know, kiss her ass.
She's going to do whatever she wants him to do.
Yeah. Whatever it is. Good or bad.
Boy, isn't that just sound like the Obama-nomics that we've had for the last 8 years?
Great country in the making.
So sad.
It is so sad. But you know what the good news is? The good news is it's never too late. It's not. And there is...
Well, everybody better get out there and vote. They better vote Trump, because if they don't...
To one of the most important C words that I want to talk about tonight, and that is count. Because every single vote counts. I mean, now more than ever before in our history, even more than the year that Bush Gore had the whole, whatever you want to call that ordeal, with the Chad in Florida,
popular vote versus electoral
college.
Exactly.
I don't think that's what happened this time though. I think that more people are going to vote. We're going to have a record turnout, because national elections prove to have the lowest percentage of turnout than any other type of election there is. And I believe that we're going to have a very high turnout. And I also think, I don't know if anybody's seen it, but I've been posting about Fox News poll last week. It was, which was kind of crazy because it was supposed to be a one-question question, but it was a two-question question, so there was a lot of confusion. But overall, it was basically, you know, are you happy with the people that you have to choose from, and are you happy about who you're voting for? And it was, like, ridiculously for Trump. And this week, their question was, it was simple. You going to vote for Clinton or Trump? And I posted a picture of this on my Facebook today, and it was 16% for Clinton and 84% for Trump. And that reflected the comments that I was reading. So, I think this is going to be a real unexpected outcome. I think Trump is going to literally win with a landslide. I not only predict that he's going to win, but I predict that it will be with a large number, and that he will get the populist vote, not just the electoral vote, but the populist. And so therefore he'll go into office with a mandate. I believe that.
We hope.
I know, we can only hope, right?
That's right.
And God's will, if he doesn't want it to happen, he's not going to let it happen.
Well,
he wants us to suffer,
but, you know,
a little bit more.
Here's the part
with
where your vote counts.
Obamacare, trickle
down crap. I mean, we have to choose. If everybody chooses to either just not pay attention and not get involved, if they choose to vote for a proven, dishonest, corrupt, crooked, you know, criminal, then that's what they're going to get. If they choose Trump, then they're going to get something entirely different. And one of the things
we
that I have to
run our country like it should be ran, with integrity and common sense, man.
Well, you know,
not
I feel
rocket
like
science.
Over
I mean,
the past,
we got a lot. There's a lot going on,
so,
but I think he's going to choose the right people and put them in his cabinet to where the decisions that are being made are not going to be ran by political bias people.
Yeah, I mean,
that's
were
what's
to
going
go
on.
Into
pay
a
for
football
play.
Game or
pay
some
for
kind
play
of a
has been going on
game.
For years.
Yeah, I mean, the way that this thing is skewed, if you went into a game that was, you know, skewed like this, I mean, it would be, people would walk out. You know, this is just not normal and it's just not right. And the thing of it is, though, is that we can't, a lot of people just sort of let it all happen. And, we, you know, we can't do that.
That's
so
because
now
of entitlement.
More than ever, your vote counts. And
entitlement
it's
is really what
it's
what makes people do the things
so
they do.
It's confusing. It's drama-ridden. It's awful, the whole thing. And it's really hard to entertain. It's hard to talk about. It's in a category of politics, which is practically forbidden in many, many places, and rightfully so. But unfortunately, we have to talk about it. And this has to be the one time that people get out and vote. You know, I mean,
yeah,
for God's sake, even if you're not going to vote for who we're saying should win, at least get out and vote. I mean, I want Trump to win. I think he's going to be an amazing president. But the most important thing is for everybody to get out and vote.
They should educate themselves on the issues and vote on the issues. And one of the issues is our president, so it's a pretty big issue.
It is. And one of the reasons why people don't like to vote is because they feel that the system is rigged. But if you do the math,
I think most of the time people that don't vote are just don't vote because they don't really know the issues.
Well, I think too that there are a lot
of
people.
Some of them are
kind of
bullheaded.
The system is rigged. I really believe that people really believe that the system is rigged. And the thing of it is, though, is that there is absolutely no way.
Well, it is rigged if you don't vote. Hey.
It is
rigged if
and
you
there
don't
are,
vote.
That's a good point. It's a really good point, but it's also actually rigged in
because they're counting on that.
Places.
The people that are rigging, trying to rig the system,
they're counting on
that. Counting on
but
you not voting.
There's no way that it is not 100% rigged. So therefore,
no, it's not.
If everybody goes out and votes, the people who are voting in the non-rigged systems are going to by far outweigh any of the rigged ones, especially if there's an extremely high turnout. Which is something
it's
that
the movement that changed
the
rigged
system.
It's the movement. The people that make these movements are the ones that.
Don't they?
Yes, and the people that don't go out and vote are just playing into what the people that are trying to rig the system. They count on that. It's all psychological.
They do count on that. They
absolutely.
Do. And
I guarantee
do not
it.
Believe. That the math will play out. I mean, even just using algorithms based on past election cycles, it is impossible. If we had, let's just say we turned an average of 30% turnout into an unprecedented, say, 80% turnout, which is totally doable, that 80% is going to completely...
Would be the unrigged portion, yes.
It would, wouldn't it? So, yep. I mean, that right there is reason enough if you don't
they're
have
already,
enough already.
They're already looking at statistics and voter turnout, and they're looking at all kinds of stuff right now. And they're counting on the normal. But, I mean, all we got to do as people is just go out and vote our conscience and educate ourselves before you do so. Because if you don't do that, then you're just, you know.
And I mean, I've said
Republican.
This before, and I really
vote
like
straight Democrat.
Yeah, and I think that I mean, if you have to do that, if you have to do that, at least you're getting out to vote. But I don't think in this. I mean, you can't just vote down the line. You need to
quit.
You know, when voting your conscience is imperative, but it should mean that you're conscious. Of what you're voting for.
And you're educated on the issues.
And right now, I think that the media is doing, you know, even though they are biased, et cetera, you know, Trump has really, really risen in the polls. They're either showing that he's ahead or that he's tied within the margin of error. And they're having to start
to sit up
and take notice.
Well, what I want
to
see is after
the
first debate, even after tonight, which I haven't seen that, which... I think I've never heard of it, something like that happening. But after the first debate is what I want to see what the polls look like. That's what I want to see.
Well, they're going to be great because he did really well. And
I'm talking
believe
about
it or not,
after his
you're talking about the
debate.
Polls after tonight. Yes. Yeah.
No, after tonight really doesn't count per se because it's not really
a
debate.
Oh, you mean after the debates in later in the month.
The first debate. Yes, the very first debate I think will kind of show us what's going to happen.
Well,
that's my
as
opinion.
You can hear, I think you can probably hear, we have just less than a minute left. Tonight went by fast.
Okay.
We got to talk a lot about. Well, thank you for joining me.
You're welcome.
I'm lucky because I get to talk to you every day, but it's awesome to get your viewpoint on air. I think you're a really smart guy. No, I'm not partial. You're just really smart. So thanks for calling
in.
Well,
I just wanted to voice my opinion. I'm really concerned about the health of Hillary. That's my big concern right now, and being forced into this when she really doesn't really want to do it.
Well, I know that we will all pray for the absolute best outcome, and everybody spread the word, share the podcast so the conversation becomes multiple. And thank you for joining Truth Finders Network, and we will be back the same time next week, Tuesday night, 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. Thank you, Truth Finders Network, for sponsoring the Hot Zone, and I will see you all next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Truth Finders.
Carrie Light.